Welcome to Bunda Vista, episode 296. We're getting close to the big 300. You're probably pretty excited, but don't think about that too much right now. My name is Andrew, and I'm here in the part of Disney where everyone's a dog for some reason. You know how in some cartoons, Goofy's a dog, but also everyone else is a dog? All the people in the department stores, people driving around in cars, but they're also dogs? Weird. Coming out of a yellow turtleneck store that only sells yellow turtlenecks with a fresh yellow turtleneck to wear under his black vest, it's Theo. Hey, Theo.
Hey, how you going? Does this yellow turtleneck under my black vest hide the fact that my entire dick is out?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Cool.
Pretty much. But we don't really talk about that much, being like, we're all anthropomorphic dogs.
It's sort of, you stop seeing it after a while.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that all our wieners are out the whole time.
And we only wear shirts. Or are they? Because yucking it up as he saunters down the street in a yellow turtleneck, black vest, and non-standard issue blue ruggers, it's Ben!
Yeah.
Bad news, Ben. We're going to take you to the hospital, which is also a vet, and euthanize you because you are not wearing the same blue pants as the rest of us.
It's my nasty little dick out.
Yeah, just at the bottom of one leg of your blue ruggers.
Oh man, I had a run in with a ruggers wearer just the other day. Copped an eyeful, no good. We're talking human dick and balls here,
and we haven't hung out in the last couple of weeks. Is
no, it was a different one.
Yeah, okay.
You
the
and
dick
my
and balls
father
are not coming
should...
from inside the building.
Yeah.
Compare
what was
notes.
The, sorry, I need a little more detail here. What was the scenario? Run us through it.
Well, describe the balls that you saw.
So,
let's start off with the setting and the context.
All right, yeah. So we're in the lounge room. Not my lounge room. This is their lounge room. And he was sitting on a little poof thing. It was like a round cushion.
An ottoman, perhaps?
Yeah, not quite an ottoman. An ottoman junior.
Yeah. No, I think an ottoman to me is a certain size. So an ottoman is like at least sort of 3 feet wide.
So, we didn't have the fan on. So you need to keep things circulated there. Sort of legs akimbo.
Mm-hmm.
Little did he know, or perhaps somewhat did he know, that for all the world to see...
So any underpants under the ruggers?
Oh, No.
That's a bold choice. Ben, I assume you're strapping on some underwear before you leave the house.
I'm wearing underpants because I'm like a regular, normal human being. Yeah.
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 I went through a big no underpants phase.
Ruggers are like probably one of the rougher materials out there.
It's a thin, rough cotton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real.
This is a country cotton. This is not a city cotton. We do things a little differently at the Ruggers factory in Southeast Asia.
the good people who are wholesaling to Lowe's clothing stores, they have figured out the cheapest possible way to construct a pair of shorts. And look, half of that equation is, you know, how can we really cut down costs? What if we used half as much fabric as your average shorts by simply making them half the size?
Yeah. And they pass those savings on to you. Yeah.
Yeah, they pass those savings on to you. And also, what if we were to further reduce costs by making it the very thin, very thin, very poor quality cotton? You know?
Think about the freedom of movement, though.
Yeah.
You're getting around in those things.
They got like a little bit of elastic in the corner there, Ben, where the seams come together?
No.
Okay.
You're thinking of perhaps the stubby, which does.
Oh.
I don't have stubby money.
That's a true Ford v. Holden situation there. You're a stubbies man, you're a ruggers man.
Yeah. I've always been a ruggers man.
Tells you where you're from.
I went and bought some ruggers during the summer because I said to myself, it's the summer of the 2-inch inseam or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? And I said, hey, I'm going to learn from the best. Learn from a man I look up to. And I asked Ben, where do I get those bad boys? He said, go into Lowe's. Do not get the new revised cut of Ruggers. You want Ruggers classic.
No. Yeah. Classic drill short. Original drill short. Yeah.
Yep.
They got new Ruggers?
Oh, they're shit.
Well, yeah. Ruggers for cowards, basically.
Yeah.
And I think they should have to take the name off. If you're going to give us like a 4-inch inseam, why don't you just stop calling them Ruggers?
Why don't you sell me a pair of JNCOs? You know, if you give me a 4-inch inseam, you may as well be giving me one of those rave pants that have a hula hoop at the bottom to keep them wide.
Why don't you call them longs?
Yeah.
Really taking it to them this week. We're coming out blazing.
Take that, PepsiCo or whoever the fuck makes
Coca-Cola Amatil, I believe, makes Ruggers. It's Asahi. Asahi makes Ruggers.
Oh, my God.
We make them under license here.
Yeah, they own Lion Nathan. Lion Nathan owns the Ruggers factory.
Who do you think actually? King G? Is it King G that makes Ruggers?
I don't believe so.
According to Queensland workwear suppliers, because if you Google,
oh, it is Ruggers the King Shorts, G's oh, men's original they, rugger.
My liege.
Oh no! But look, here's a different clothing store that says Stubby's Ruggers men's cotton drill shorts. They can't be Stubby's Ruggers.
And if you're an American listener, really sorry about this episode already. We're like 5 minutes in. Not a waste of your time.
If you're an American listener, don't post. Don't reply.
Yep.
Do not engage.
Not interact.
Don't contact us. Don't join the Discord and immediately be like, so you guys do some pretty weird things in Australia, don't you?
Yeah.
We don't.
Is it yesterday in here?
Nope. It's today.
It's today, dickhead.
Yeah. I would know because my subjective experience of time is objectively correct.
Encountering an American who attempts to tell me what they perceive to be reality. It's the one thing I didn't want to happen. It's time for the one thing we didn't want to happen.
This is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
How's that though? We got to the first segment in 7 minutes.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's flying. That's flying along. Probably going to run shorter. Out of material. Sorry.
We want to do 1 hour.
Precisely.
Yeah.
We like to really, really hit it on the
button. If we can find something annoying to hyperfixate on around the 25 minute mark, that's gonna set us up for
that's good. You've
success.
You've really primed me for it at this point. Yeah,
what was that band that was like Live but worse? Creed. Yeah.
I always thought they were like Nickelback, but worse. It was Creed.
I always thought they were sort of like Christian rock Pearl Jam.
Yeah. Let's get into this. And so they had that song With Arms Wide Open, which I think was about heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Followed it up with Arms Wide Closed. Did not do as well.
Yeah. Arms Wide Shut. Pretty weird.
Yeah. But
Stanley Kubrick's Arms Wide Shut. Oh, from CNN, the Kinnunen. Colorado homeowner cited for feeding wildlife after bear enters home 3 times.
Mm.
Hmm.
Bear enters your house once, shame on the bear.
Shame on
the
bear. Bear enters your house 2 times.
Shame on the bear.
Shame on the bear.
Yeah, and then three times.
What are you doing, pal?
You have failed to purchase a blunderbuss between the second and third incursion.
That's right.
The owner of a home in an upscale Colorado Springs neighborhood, was sighted last week for feeding big game animals after a black bear entered the residence 3 times within 2 days.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to get the bear to leave?
Well, first of all, there's a sign on the only road that goes into the subdivision saying this is a no bear subdivision.
Yeah.
A gated community. That means you.
Yeah. Stay out.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife, the CPW. Personnel trapped and euthanized the bear.
Oh,
Ben.
Hey, come on now. That's my fault. I didn't ask
you
to
hit
that.
Us, how are you going to hit us with a gentle Ben getting killed story? Right up front.
Can I distract you? With a little
you
bit
report,
of trivia.
We decide. Yep.
Colorado Springs is right next to Cheyenne Mountain, which is the setting of the fictional secret Air Force base in Stargate. The Cheyenne Mountain Complex.
Huh.
Yeah, which is an actual military base, which I believe is the military base featured in War Games, I think.
Okay.
And if you're considering fact-checking this,
don't.
It's also the setting for the debut album of Connor Youngblood, a lovely little semi-ambient folk electronica thing. Check that out.
Oh.
Connor Youngblood. The album Cheyenne. It's nice.
I also, I think I've been there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is important stuff. The Bruin entered a Broadmoor home through an open door on Sunday. Is that what a Bruin is?
No, it's a hockey team.
Yes, okay. A hockey team came in.
So the door was open, you're saying?
An open door.
That's sort of on you, I think.
The neighborhood in the southwest Colorado Springs foothills is considered prime bear habitat by CPW staff. The homeowner found muddy paw prints on the home's floor and closed the door. However, the bear returned and opened the same door.
What?
What kind of door you got going there?
So, okay, so sorry. So the bear's been in the house. They've left the house. The owner's come in. They've seen the paw prints in the house and then they've closed the door.
They've said, oh, lucky there's no bear in here.
Yeah, they've closed the door. They've gone, finally, free of bears forever. And then the bear's opened the door.
Turns out
the bear... Sorry, I hate to interject here. I was at the Walmart Supercenter in Colorado Springs on the 13th of August, 2017. So I hope that clears that up.
Yep.
And if you are keeping notes of Ben's whereabouts, just update your logs accordingly. Yep. The bear, this time, walked to the kitchen.
He's hungry.
You're looking for a picnic basket, I think.
He is. Yeah.
Yeah, there was probably some sort of trumpet or French horn playing sort of sillily as it sauntered into the kitchen. Bomb, bomb, bomb.
Can we be real for a second?
Yeah.
Do you guys want
to... Yeah.
Can we take
I've
a
brief... I've
turned
my chair back around the correct way.
Yep. Can we, the correct way? When you're keeping it real, don't you put the back of the chair out?
No, that's a fool's way to sit.
He was sitting hip-hop style earlier, and now he's turned it back around to attentive student.
Knees together, hands perched on upper thighs.
Yeah, and I'm right in your face right
last
now.
Last night, he watched the movie Save the Last Dance, and then he decided to come into this podcast recording sitting cool style backwards on the chair, and now he's gone, wait, that was a mistake.
Hold on.
Let's be real. I'm putting my chair around frontwards.
All right. Well, I would like to keep it real and say, I think in reality, Yogi Bear would have been euthanized really quite quickly into the run of the show.
Oh, some of the shit that he gets up to. Honestly, it actually kind of makes me sick.
Yeah. There's like a finite number of picnic baskets that you can steal before they are coming down there, tranking you. And that's it. It's over for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're teaching a smaller bear to do it. So,
that's
bad
it,
example
bro.
Also.
You're going in the huge air fryer.
Yep.
You're going in the bear clinker. That's just for bears.
You are going to be a beautiful rug. Beautiful rug with a nice green hat. Quote, the bear was reluctant to leave their kitchen, CPW stated. Only after yelling and banging pots and pans did the bear retreat and leave the home. Well, the bear probably got sick of banging the pots and pans together after a while.
Oh, there he is. He's used semantic ambiguity to imply that the bear was doing those things.
You can't keep getting away with this.
The comedy is flying thick and fast.
I don't think we should keep drawing attention to how bad the comedy is.
People love it. People actually love it when you remind them how stupid and bad the show is.
You could be listening to a scripted comedy podcast, but you know what? That's fake.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, that's like drinking a Diet Coke when you could be sucking the sugar directly out of sugarcane.
I like to think that this is a thing you can just put on. You can kind of just switch off and nothing good's going to happen. You know that nothing important is going to occur.
If you're not doing a long highway drive or getting some long overdue chores done while you're listening to this, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine someone listening to this show, right? And one of their family members comes into the room with a problem and they're like, hold on. Hold on. I need 5 minutes to see where this is going.
See where he's going with this.
Yeah.
No, I just
tell
imagine
you something interesting. Are there some jokes coming up? Maybe.
Hold on. Hold on. They've said they're about to get real.
I just think of them like scrambling for the pause button. Like they've just, someone's walking in on looking at porn.
Yeah. Oh, it's just whacking off.
Look, I'm going to keep it real with you folks. If there is a bear in my kitchen, I will be the one to leave the kitchen.
Yeah, that's it. You go.
Yeah. Don't ask the bear to leave. Go to your neighbor's house. Yeah. Who presumably has a lockable door.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to get to a house that doesn't have a bear in it.
Yeah.
Stay there until the bear situation improves.
Yeah, we actually have really good algorithms these days for the quickest route to determine a bearless house.
I don't know what you've been reading. It's still MP hard, Ben.
You can't actually use an algorithm to find a bearless house without discovering a bear first. It's BNB uncomplete. Am I right? That's a little computer science joke.
No, no, it's fine. There's like 80% of our audience, I think.
Yeah, I think that'll only resonate with 9 out of 10 people that listen to this.
The other 20% of the audience are slowly boiling an enormous saucepan of piss on
this. Hey, if you listened to this podcast episode because you saw that the title was the BNB problem and you thought, now that sounds like something for me.
Yeah.
Please... be cooler.
I actually have an IT degree. I just choose not to use it.
Oh boy. I met a guy today. This couple came over to our house because because their kid was over visiting or with our kid, and this guy was like, "Oh, what do you do?" And I was like, "UX designer," and he was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I'm a software engineer." And our wives both went, "Are they like the same thing? Are they?"
Wow.
Yes, and we both went, "So yes." Different, dude.
We both just said, "Yes." Because that's what I say to anything now. Anybody asks me what I do and I give any kind of description and they say, "Oh, like this," and say something that's kind of adjacent to that, and I say, "Yes."
Yeah. Yes. Computer.
Computer.
I'm on computer. Yeah.
I go to the computer store every day. Yeah. You know?
I am the computer store.
Because let's be real. Who gives a fuck? You know? No one needs to know. No one needs to know in any great detail. But yes, I would prefer to be on the other side of a door from a bear, and I don't really mind if I'm the one who's inside or outside.
Like, he can go through my shit.
Yep.
Like, if he's in the kitchen and I'm like, oh no, he's going to go through, you know, I've got some nice things I got from the Mediterranean wholesaler. I've got my weird chips. I got from the Asian grocers. I've got a few staples. If, like, my choice is I have to get him out of there or he can have my truffle-flavored turtle chips, have them. I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving. I'm jumping through the window. The kitchen is yours. Do whatever you need to do. I'm going next door. I'm going to Tony's place.
Oh, can I, can I give a quick Buena Vista product review? Because we do want this show to be informative, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
All right. All right. Can I give a very thorough Buena Vista 2 thumbs down to the El Sabroso guaca chip, guacamole flavored tortilla chips?
Okay. Did you know what you were doing when you purchased that? Because that sounds bad.
It does. It sounds like something that shouldn't be kind of powdered and then baked onto a chip.
Yeah.
Well, the whole chip is green. Like, green through and through.
And so there was no picture of the chip on the packet?
Yeah. It said, get this, little tagline says, the dip is in the chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fucking like, stupid. That's going to mess with the chemistry of the chip.
It sure did. It sure did. And it says, hey, we put all this guacamole, you know, we put all this avocado in the chip. And then I looked at the ingredients and it was like all the ingredients of a chip. And then, you know how
green.
I think it moves like the ingredients are sort of in order of how much of the thing they make up, right?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to say maybe the penultimate ingredient was avocado powder.
You've Terrible. Made a Rube's decision. I expect better of you. You're a flavor pimp.
Well, you yeah, but
should
also,
know better than this.
You got to get the foundations right. You got to get a chip that is a good chip first, and then start adding flavors to it.
Yes, you got to set yourself up for success. You set yourself up for failure there.
You are the man that built his house on sand.
You are, and you should build your house upon the rock, as the Bible tells us.
That's exactly
and
right.
And some of the other things the Bible tells us. Let's get into that.
Get some sea salt on that rock.
Look, I agree that I am a flavor pimp, but
thank you.
You cannot reach new heights without trying some stuff.
Oh, you're fucking around.
Yeah, I fucked around and I found out on this particular case. Sometimes you fuck around with an exotic snack from the Asian grocer or the IGA who has all the weird chips, and you're in a whole new world of snacking sensations. You know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you there. I'm with you. Like, picking up a mystery product from the Asian grocers.
Yep. Sometimes.
Great activity.
At least you're going to discover a new exciting flavor that you didn't know existed, even if it's bad. But getting a fucking Western guacamole chip? Come on. I expect better of you.
Look, I had never seen them
Most
before.
Most unwise.
I had never seen them before. Also, I was in a rush. It was lunchtime and I hadn't eaten lunch yet.
Quick. I'll just give me the chip that looks like Shrek's butthole.
Give me the closest chip. Yep, looks like someone pureed Shrek.
Yeah. And Lucy will be back soon. No promise.
We do promise. It's not our fault that she has stuff to do. You know?
How much of a delicate balance this
she injects some sort of much needed
It's the bullying gene.
She also is very unambiguous about getting us back onto subject. She's like, so what about this thing? You're like, oh, that's right. We were talking about what if there was a bear in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will give Pretty a hearty two thumbs up to the Lonely God potato twists.
Oh, we love Lonely God potato twists.
What is that?
My kids love when we go to the Asian grocer that we like. It's very funny.
Is dead and heaven is empty potato chip.
It's so
what
funny.
What is that name?
It's so funny to hear your little daughter say, "Can we get the Lonely God chips?"
Now, my understanding is that the Lonely God potato chip twist thing. The Lonely God thing is a bad translation of Cupid.
Okay.
Oh.
As in like he's the god who cures loneliness, kind of?
Well, if you look at the mascot, he's a little guy with angel's wings and he's wearing a diaper and he's got a bow.
I don't see any bow. He's got a wand on the one I'm looking at.
But how are you looking at it? Oh, a computer.
Yeah, on the computer.
Yeah, you're on a computer.
He's got...
Is his kitchen in front of his laptop?
He's got a wand on all
of
them.
I can see him.
Someone told me that on Twitter, and now I'm starting to doubt whether it's real. Wrong.
Oh, you read something on Twitter and you thought it was true?
Yeah, you probably think Elon's good.
Hey. Oh, this guy loves Elon.
This guy loves him.
The bear returned Monday night and again entered through an open door. You're going to need to start closing that door.
Yeah.
Get it on the latch, you know?
Yeah.
Don't swing it closed. Don't just let it kind of close itself. Wait till it clicks. Push it till it clicks. Quote, it's extremely fortunate no one was injured by this bear when it confronted the homeowners in the kitchen. When the bear confronted them.
Hey. Listen up. Mark, Linda, sick of your shit.
The bear starts banging pots and pans together. This bear had become habituated to people associating them as a food source. Well
they kind of are, you know. Source.
They are a food source. People they probably have a full source. Cupboard. Yeah. And they're made of meat.
The bear's probably looking at Mark and Linda and seeing, like, you know, the big ambiguous piece of meat with a single bone sticking out of it, floating.
Or like a steaming turkey.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, I think with bears, the thing is that we are already the food product. So they don't have to use cartoon logic to imagine us as a hot dog. They look at us and they see us as an us, which is
the thing
they
making
could eat.
The sort of like jingling noise and then the exact same picture of us.
Yeah, we're standing there as we were before, but with our shoes and belts off.
Yeah, yeah.
All of the metal is gone.
Yeah, puts
the whole person in his mouth, pulls out just the bones and the belt buckle.
The human skull.
And the iPhone 10 still attached to the rib cage.
Yeah, pacemaker dangling. This created a dangerous situation when the bear was confronted in a confined space in the home. Okay,
yeah, whose
fault
is
doing
that?
The confronting? Yeah. Is the bear confronting the homeowners or are the homeowners confronting
the bear?
He's
just minding his own business.
God yeah. damn it. In your house.
In your house.
Trying
well, you're
to find
kind of
your
in his house. It's prime bear territory, they said.
Yeah.
What the fuck did you set up there? It's a hostile biome, dude.
Yeah. Have you tried living in Kansas?
What's going on in Kansas?
Probably not going to get a beer. Probably not going to get a bear in your kitchen in Kansas, I don't think.
Yeah.
Per CPW policy... Any bear that enters a residence must be euthanized. That's BS, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Bear shit.
I think if you let the bear get into your house, you should have to move.
Yeah, or be euthanized. That's not you, bro. Yeah.
It's the bear's
you
house
a choice.
Now.
Quick, trank him.
You left the door open again. You get tranked. You get tranked. You wake up and you're in Kansas.
Yeah.
You have been moved at your expense. You know, government can dock your pay to pay for the move and also the cost of selling your former home. That
yeah, we've humanely relocated the Smith family.
Hopefully they won't have another encounter.
I think they should just, they should move you away at your own expense. The government buys the house.
In a big old cage with a curtain over it so you can't tell which direction you're going.
Oh, I'm sleepy.
Release you in a movie theater.
They wake up. They're in inner city Milwaukee.
Quote, wild bears are naturally afraid of people and avoid them, Kroenig stated.
Yeah.
When a bear learns that human homes are a source of food, they become dangerous to people. Imagine encountering a bear in your kitchen.
Hey,
you imagining it?
My kitchen's so fucking small. It's basically impossible to imagine.
It's, look, if nothing else, it's going to be awkward.
Yeah. Sorry, I just need to...
Trying to...
I got to... Can I...
Just behind you there.
Can you just... I love that we're both having a glass of wine standing here while I'm cooking, but also every time I need to get anything from the cupboard or the shelf, I'm just kind of...
The bear's shuffling around, trying to get out of your way, knocking absolutely everything off every shelf in the process.
Yeah. And there is a spot you could sit on the other side of the bench, and you... Oh, okay.
No, don't worry about it.
Yep.
If there is no clear exit available, a tragic confrontation could occur, and we can't risk that happening. That's why we euthanized the Smith family. Because you know what? Bears, as far as I know how to close doors. Humans, on the other hand, they do. So where should the responsibility lie?
This is a skill issue, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. Who should be copping the penalty here? Not this beautiful, gentle bear, suffering merely because he smelled a delicious picnic basket.
Yeah.
Trapping and releasing the bear in a more remote area was not a consideration.
Why not?
Should have been.
It's because... Quote, Colorado has become so densely populated that it is difficult to find a place to take a bear so that it won't encounter human homes. What if less human homes?
Take the bear somewhere nice.
Take the bear to Jamaica. The bear weighed between 225 and 250 pounds.
So he's a hungry boy. He needs treats.
He needs treats. The homeowner was cited for feeding big game. And also was warned for luring bears.
So the contention is that they were trying to make friends with the bears?
Well, I think the next sentence should shed some light on this one.
We're not up to the next sentence yet.
Yeah, all we can do is speculate now.
Good point.
The homeowner was cited for feeding big game. CPW's Bill Vogren did not go into detail about how this homeowner was attracting wildlife to the property, but did offer an example. Quote, "Feeding big game can be as simple as putting out birdseed in such a way that big game can easily access it."
Come on. That's for the birds.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that is for the birds. I guess it's true that that's for the birds. I guess when you're putting birdseed out, the birdseed is for the birds. Would you agree with that, Theo?
Is that what that means?
Would you agree that it's for the birds when you put birdseed out? Sorry, it just seems like something's happening to you right now.
So, basically, he's been fined for still not closing his door.
Yeah. He's
been fined for just not getting it together.
Yeah.
Just shut the door. Put it on the latch. Please, sir. Please, sir. Sir, please.
Oh, just stop being such a baby when a bear turns up in your house. Oh, there's a bear in here. Mm. I need someone to kill this bear for me.
Here's a little thought experiment for you. What if instead of euthanizing the bear, we sedated it and relocated it to a P&O Fairstar cruise?
Yes.
Oh.
Now we're talking, right?
I hadn't even considered that.
Hmm. Well, now that you're in the cruise zone, it's time for Cruise Watch.
Now, you know, sometimes I worry that this podcast is a little dry. You know, there's just like, it's a bunch of people reading news stories word for word, which is
Don't explain it, otherwise other people could copy it.
if you're going to find several uncharismatic dumbasses.
Where else are you going to find people to continually derail the conversation that you're having?
I just thought that maybe we need a format that's a little jazzier than that, that doesn't seem, you know, as predictable and boring. So what I'm going to do to you, do to you.
Wait, sorry, just to clear it up. Are you about to do something to me and Theo or to the listener?
Both. Because... Right. You two and the listener are listening to this. Instead of just reading a boring old news story, I'm going to read to you from a report on an inspection made on the 27th of April this year by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on the cruise ship, the MSC Seaside.
Yep.
Now we're done.
But no, to make it, to jazz it up a little, you're going to do it in a Rasta voice the whole time.
Wagwan, brethren. Unfortunately, everything on the MSC Seaside was not Irie, because they received a grade of 67, which is well below the 86 required to pass the inspection.
God, that's so high. You got to get
a B plus. Those are completely arbitrary numbers. You don't know what the upper bound is. So it's hard to actually gauge the level of success or failure there without a third data point. I'm going to give you some highlights in a sense here. So this is a violation that was committed on the buffet on deck 16 at the passenger hand washing stations. Two passenger hand washing sinks did not have soap in the automatic dispensers, or the dispenser was not working properly. This was observed at the main entrance and the starboard entrance. So can't wash your hands at the buffet on deck 16.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which
that's a problem because
I wasn't going to anyway.
As we know about cruise ships, everything spreads there very quickly. But don't worry about that. That's fine. Here's another violation from the buffet on deck 16. Service tongs. The handles of different self-service serving tongs were touching food out for passenger self-service throughout this open outlet. This included the following food items: sliced melons, bread rolls, apples, plums, and muffins. So no one's washing their hands, and then they're grabbing the tongs, and then the tongs are resting in the food.
Okay.
Fantastic. Here is another violation from the buffet on deck 16. Food protection. Individual bowls of raisins, granular sugar, and jam out for passenger self-service at different service stations were not adequately positioned under the sneeze guard, nor were they protected with lids or other effective means. Stay away from the buffet on Deck 16, because you are getting something real fast.
Whatever's going around.
Real lucky dip situation, I think.
Here's a violation from the galley on Deck 8. So this is a bit longer, so bear with me here. A crew member previously observed cooking raw hamburgers at the hamburger buffet station entered the galley with a trolley cart containing an empty hotel container with leftover hamburger paper wrappings and a layer of pooled hamburger blood. The crew member moved to dispose of the bloody paper wrapping at the soiled dishwash drop with his bare hands and then proceeded to the soiled pot wash to drop the metal hotel pan. The crew member then proceeded to walk through the galley and crew working side of the buffet lines without washing his hands with the cart that had visible blood soil. The crew member proceeded to open the cold storeroom 45 to acquire additional hamburgers. The inspector intervened and observed the crew member's hands and refrigerator door handle covered in hamburger blood. Management quickly instructed the crew member to wash his hands and called for the door handle and other touch surfaces to be washed or instant sanitized. Covered in hamburger blood? Wild combination of words.
Mm-hmm. Not optimal, I think we can all agree.
No. This violation is more generally applying to their medical surveillance reports. The total number of passengers and total number of crew were not the totals at the beginning of the voyage as the totals on the AGE logs.
First of all, Purbody's nerfed.
That's right. For example, the 24-hour report for the April 19th to 23rd voyage had 1,434 crew, while the log stated 1,456, and the 24-hour report for the April 15th to 19th voyage had 1,374 crew, while the log stated 1,376. So a few ghost passengers aboard, which is fun.
Maybe some people were, just running from the front of the line up to the back before the counter got up there. You know?
That was probably it. This is another sort of general and medical log violations here. The medical staff explained several times how passengers and crew needed to have 3 episodes of diarrhea or vomit plus 1 symptom to be a reportable case. Staff also explained that when the crew reported 1 diarrhea symptom, they would have the crew member isolated in the medical center to see if they produced another diarrhea episode. Watching through the glass.
These are pretty stringent requirements. Not only do you have to be blasting something out of one end or the other 3 times, but you also have to have like just a wild card.
Yeah.
Wild card symptom.
One other symptom.
Yeah, you got to have an elective.
And my teeth are sore? Oh, gracious. that case would not end in the AGE log as a reportable case. At the request of the inspector, staff presented the reportable case definition they should follow per company procedures, and it was the same as in the VSP operations manual. The inspector explained that even 1 diarrhea episode that is above normal to that individual can make them a reportable case. So for you, Theo, it's impossible to be a reportable case.
That's right. Still finding the upper limit.
Yeah. I've got another medical one here from the waiting room in the medical room on the cruise ship. The hand washing station had no soap. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, this is a violation of their medical OPRP. No idea what that stands for. The violation here is housekeeping records indicated the cleaning of vomit and fecal incidents in cabins in the medical center. For example, 1, on April 23rd, vomit and fecal cleanups in 2 different cabins. 2, on April 21st, vomit in a cabin. 3, on April 16th, a vomit in the medical center. And 4, on April 12th and 13th, vomits in the hospital. There was no documentation in the medical center of these incidents or medical follow-ups with the individuals who became sick.
And that's good?
It's impossible to tell. They didn't say whether it was good or bad.
OPRP is Operational Prerequisite Programs.
Oh.
Category. So yes, it's an attempt to control significant hazards. Has not worked in this case.
No, it has not. So that's that for that report. Stay away from the MSC Seaside.
Yeah,
unless
the other ones
they
want to
sponsor
fine.
The show, in which case,
yeah,
check out the MSC Seaside.
I hear they have a great galley. They have a great buffet on deck 16.
I hear they have a buffet.
Yeah.
We're actually recording this from the diarrhea isolation chamber while I work out how many more episodes we're going to have.
Yeah, that's why we can't hear any echo in each other's microphones, because we're all in completely separate glass room. We're all in like the Magneto prison for diarrhea.
Yeah. You're all hermetically sealed. It's very hygienic.
Yeah. It is now, but it wasn't before.
Yeah. And we're blasted mostly air in here, but some liquid as well.
I have another cruise-related story for you from cruiseradio.net. Man airlifted from Carnival cruise ship after ingesting battery.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like I said, you gotta fly close to the sun trying to get different new flavors.
That's right.
That is a cool trick, though.
Yeah.
Hey, check,
you
want to
see this battery
out.
Disappear?
Oh. Smash cut to woo, woo, woo.
Call that helicopter. A Carnival Cruise Line passenger on Carnival Dream was airlifted off the cruise ship for an unusual reason over the weekend. He ingested a battery.
Womp, womp.
I'm reading that tone into it, but it did seem like they were trying to establish a jovial sort of, you know, we're having fun here tone.
One gentleman had an oopsie on the boat.
Yeah.
Coast Guard Sector Houston Galveston Watchstanders received a medevac request Saturday evening from a crew member on the ship saying that an 86-year-old passenger was experiencing gastrointestinal issues and other side effects from ingesting a battery.
Who gave him a battery?
I reckon if I was really drunk and 22, I could have been convinced to eat a battery. To show
bet
off.
You won't eat a D battery. You yeah.
Fucking oh, yeah.
Watch.
Fucking. I bet I could. I could eat two. You know? 86, though. Yeah. Have you learned nothing, sir?
Yeah. You should have learned that way earlier. The incident occurred shortly after the ship had departed Galveston, Texas, on its current 8-day Bahamas and Key West voyage. Coast Guard Watchstanders consulted with a duty flight surgeon who recommended a medevac. Coast Guard Air Station Houston MH-65 Dolphin helicopter crew launched to conduct the evacuation of the vessel. It was approximately 50 miles from Galveston.
I believe the recommendation from the medevac was, yeah, this old dude's tummy is all fucked up.
Yeah.
Get him
if
out
we get
of
a
here.
Really big magnet, we can probably get it out of him real quick.
Yeah, like the intestinators in the Christopher Lambert movie Fortress.
Yeah, exactly like that. The helicopter crew successfully hoisted the passenger on board and transported him to the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. A Coast Guard press release says that the passenger was reported to be in stable condition with no other details given. There is also no information on how the guest ingested a battery in the first place or what type of battery it was. Yeah.
Those would have been my two questions, actually.
Those were, how big was the battery? And also, how?
How?
Sir? How? What are you fucking doing? How big and how? He ingested a 9-volt battery because he thought it was a delicious biscuit.
A Werther's original.
That's right.
Finding something that looks like it might be a little bit tasty and looking around to see if anybody is watching you and finding out that nobody is watching you and then just popping it in your mouth. Hey, it's only natural. It's time for Nature Corner.
Country roads.
This is a press release from the University of South Australia. That's right. They've got a university now. Kangaroo Island ants, quote, play dead, end quote, to avoid predators. That's kind of funny to picture.
Like how much acting are they doing?
Well, I don't think there'd be that much acting because they're not playing dying.
Oh, yeah, sure.
you know, if it was like tens of thousands of ants all doing individual death scenes.
Oh,
keeling over.
Tell my mother I loved her so much. I'll never make it back to County Cork, where I'm from. I'm an ant.
They're well known for their industrious work, just like the hosts of this podcast. But now, a species of ant on Kangaroo Island is also showing that it is skilled at playing dead, a behavior that University of South Australia researchers believe is a recorded world first for ants, I assume.
Yeah, first theater ants.
Yeah.
Accidentally discovered as researchers were checking pygmy, possum, and bat nest boxes on Kangaroo Island, a colony of Polarachus femorata ants appeared to be dead until one moved all the other ones.
Fuck. That's so good.
Fucking Terry, come on. Just we like spent all weekend rehearsing.
Thousands of ants, and then one of them is just like, and we're good. Oh, shit.
You just...
I fucked it again.
Yeah, encountering all of this and hearing a just an almost imperceptible groan. Published by CSIRO, this is the first time that a whole colony of ants has been recorded feigning death, and the first record of the Polarachus femorata ant species for South Australia. Wildlife ecologist, UniSA's Associate Professor S. Topa Petit, says she was surprised to discover a colony of what appeared to be dead ants in one of the nest boxes. Yeah, I can see how that'd be kind of odd.
Do we know that it's just not that, like, her vibes were really bad?
They were trying to avoid her.
It's like, oh, fuck, lie down, pretend.
See, with the dog barking there, it sounded like you were saying it to a dog, Theo.
Yeah, it did. This yeah. That's the magic of improvisation.
Of sounds.
Emergent podcasting.
Quote, the mimicry was perfect, Associate Professor Petit says.
Oh, come when on, how good is Associate Professor Petit?
Little
That's
professor.
Such a delightful name.
Only a little.
When we opened the box, we saw all these dead ants, and then one fucking loser fuck-up piece of shit moved slightly.
Fired.
Yeah. End quote.
Yeah.
The whole thing's off.
You know how sometimes... I'm sorry, and I'm addressing the listener directly here. You yeah, sometimes wonder listening. Whether you're like a dud, that like everyone else in your life has their lives together and they're charming and they're loved, but that you're barely scrambling for purchase and that yeah. you're a bit of a letdown and you're a mess.
Everyone else kind of like when they go to learn something, they pick it up reasonably quickly.
Yeah.
And like make progress with things yeah. in a kind of like consistent way.
Yeah. And that they make choices where they understand why they're doing it and they've chosen it correctly. And when they put themselves out there in a social situation or a work situation, they're doing it for a good reason. They're confident they're doing it for a good reason. And everyone around them appreciates them for it.
Yeah.
You know how you sometimes feel like, you are not that, that you're the opposite of that, that you're like just sort of a dud.
Yeah, this sort of ant weird is and everyone that. Knows. Yeah.
So you have that in common with the ant.
Hmm. Quote, this sort of defensive immobility is known among only a few ant species in individuals or specific castes, but we don't know of any other instances when it's been observed for entire colonies. Hear me out here. What if she opened the box in the middle of siesta time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little very sleepy.
Maybe. They've been working hard all morning, as we said. Mm-hmm. They are an industrious species.
Big carb lunch.
Yep. 11 a.m. rolls around. Oh, what if we all have a little kip? Then we get straight back to it, you know? Box opens up. One ant starts rubbing an eye. And suddenly they think they've found something special, you know? Nope. Caught them having a little snooze. Quote, in some of the boxes containing colonies of Polarachus femorata, some individuals took a while to stop moving and others didn't stop. The triggers for the behavior are difficult to understand. Associate Professor Petit says there is a lot to discover about this species. Polarachus femorata is a beautiful arboreal ant that tends to be quite shy.
Aww.
But little else is known about its ecology or behavior. They're just a small bean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also they're an ant.
Yeah, yeah,
most, just like
most ants
take
are
most
small.
Of what we know about ants and apply it to this one as well.
Yeah. Little fuckers are always trying to carry crumbs.
Yep. Yep.
I know that much about them.
Big old
I
line.
Haven't even studied them. And I can tell you right now, 90% of Polyrhachus femorata are carrying big crumbs.
Yeah. How the fuck did they even get in the house in the first place?
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty small.
That's true.
They'll find a way. Quote, "We have a relatively unknown world of ants under our feet and in the trees. Ants Good. Provide crucial ecosystem services and are part of a vital... and are a vital part of functional ecosystems on Kangaroo Island and elsewhere. It is very exciting that such an endearing species, such as Polyrhachus femorata, is living on Kangaroo Island, and we look forward to finding out more about its ecology." I'm just gonna look at a picture of one of these bad boys.
I bet it looks like an ant.
Yeah, I want to see if it's...
Well, it looks like an ant.
I mean, I like how the front two-thirds of it are matte black. That's pretty cool. And then that's about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me guess, 6 legs?
Yep.
Get real.
Yeah, thorax, uh-huh. Abdomen, the other
little,
part.
Little feelies.
Is there a technical term for the head on an ant? It can't just be thorax, abdomen, and head.
Head,
I think it's called ant.
That can't be right.
Ant head.
Noggin. Thorax, abdomen, noggin.
"We have no doubt that other ants with similar death-feigning behaviors will be discovered in Australia, but it is thrilling to be among the pioneers." Yep.
Yeah.
They've probably got ants in America.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It's time for America Watch. So I got excited because I saw that we were looking at my favorite Indiana news agency.
Yeah.
This comes to us from WANE, the Wayne in Fort Wayne, Indiana. God, that's good. Yeah. It just hits me in the perfect spot.
Yeah, I don't feel like out of any of the ones we talk about on a regular basis, they managed to phonetically get the full name of the place. I mean, it doesn't have the fort, obviously, but it's still Wayne in Fort Wayne. The closest, I think, is we get KPNX, which is for Phoenix, but that's still Kapenix.
Kapenix.
Yeah. They've nailed this one.
Kapenix.
Hmm.
Say that out loud to yourself, folks. From the Wayne in Indiana, 2 injured in turkey hunting incident. So I'm immediately picturing, hey, Ben, are you a big fan of Vin Diesel's Riddick films?
Oh, I sure am.
You know, in what I'm going to say is the third one, Riddick.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
Sounds right, right?
Yeah.
There's a point in the movie where the kind of dynamic shifts. He has been pursued by mercenaries trying to capture him for a bounty. And the tables turn, and suddenly, the hunter becomes the other one. The hunted becomes the hunter.
Yeah. The hunty.
The hunty.
Yeah.
That's what the turkey's doing in here, is what I'm saying. It's turkey time. Dropping down from the trees.
I'll let you read the story, then we'll decide.
Slashing throats. Indiana conservation officers are investigating a misidentification hunting accident, at Morgan Monroe State Forest.
Yeah, and what they mean by that is the hunters misidentified whether they were the hunter or the huntie.
That's right. On May 6th, Sean Hooper was turkey hunting, very brave, when he misidentified 2 other hunters. He then fired upon them. Bang! Oh, they look pretty turkeyish.
That's the first thing you want to do when you hear a vaguely turkey-esque noise in the distance.
Yeah.
You want to be real quick to pull that trigger.
Yep.
Otherwise, you might lose the turkey.
Just instant. Just instant. Off the cuff, you know? He then fired upon them, resulting in those hunters, Jessery McClintic. Jessery.
Come on, dog.
Jessery McClintic, which sounds like an antivirus software company from 1996, and Scott Pointer suffering non-life-threatening injuries. The incident remains under investigation. How much investigation do you think they need on
that? Yeah, they'll crack this one.
Now, it's not like this is like particularly... This sort of shit happens all the time in the US. That's why they have all these laws about, you know, wearing orange and blah, 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 blah. It's the fact that it's two guys. Like, if you were, you're hanging out, you've done your turkey calls, you've sprayed the bushes with turkey piss to attract other turkeys or whatever, you've got your gun, you're sitting there, you've drunk 25 beers, and then you see something in the corner of your vision, you turn around, bam, you shoot it. Ah, fuck. That wasn't a turkey. That was Jessery McClintic. Yeah. And I've got him in the shoulder. You have heard like two noises and you've seen two things and you've gone, pow, pow. Wait a second. Those were human men.
Well, God gave us two barrels.
Yeah. Do you reckon he's just like Clint Eastwood at it? He's like, pow, like short succession, hit both targets, or he's hit one, slowly lined up the other, hit the second, and then been like, wait a damn second. That's a man, and also a man.
He's firing from both hips.
Yeah.
He hits one, and he's like, that may not have been a turkey, but I've got to be sure. Bang. Whap. Or yeah, maybe he had a shotgun.
No witnesses.
He had a shotgun. and he popped off and just hit the one of them, you know?
Oh, maybe? And it happened to get both with the... Yeah, or...
That was my initial impression.
But also... Okay, so let's look at the facts. So when they say what the misidentification was, they refer to it twice here. It was a misidentification hunting accident in the Morgan Monroe State Forest, and he misidentified two other hunters. Doesn't say he misidentified them as turkeys.
No, he might have misidentified them as one turkey.
Holy shit, that's the fucking...
mother of all turkeys.
Or he misidentified them as two dudes that he hates.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. That's the cocksucker brothers.
That turkey looks just like Jessery McClintic. Bang. I fucking Scott love Pointer. To shoot Bang. That turkey. Bang.
Can you imagine?
Folks, if you, the listener, can think of someone in your life who you would love to come across in a forest and accidentally misidentify as a turkey, leading you to shoot them... Do not write that in an email to us, as if that person is killed in the future, that can cause trouble for you. That will be a problem.
Yeah, better to post it on LinkedIn.
Better to do some self-actualizing on LinkedIn about people you may or may not like to end. You know?
CEO's mindset. Wake up every day. Turkey hunting.
My goodness.
Shoot two guys.
Folks, we're in the business of telling you when you've just listened to a whole episode of Punta Vista. And you have just listened to a whole episode of Punta Vista.
Yeah.
Business is booming. Yeah.
Business is booming. Well, see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.